I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight from KTO 104.3. And tonight's story, oh, it's a fun one. It's a southern one, and I love those southern ones. It's by Miss Eudora Welty, and it's called The Petrified Man. I'll give you a chance to get settled, and I'll be right back. Please stay tuned to Telling Tales with Ms. G. And I'm back. This is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight. I'm live from KTO 104.3. So tonight's story is called The Petrified Man by Eudora Welty, set in the South. And, well, you'll see. Reach in my purse and get me a cigarette without no powder in it if you can, Ms. Fletcher. Honey, said Leota to her 10 o'clock shampoo and set customer. I don't like no perfume cigarettes. Mrs. Fletcher gladly reached over to the lavender shelf under the lavender-framed mirror, shook a hairnet loose from the clasp of the patent leather bag, and slapped her hand down quickly on a powder puff, which burst out when the purse was opened. "Why, look at the peanuts, Leota," said Mrs. Fletcher in her marveling voice. "None of them goobers has been in my purse a week if they've been in it a day." Mrs. Pike bought them peanuts. "Who's Mrs. Pike?" asked Mrs. Fletcher, settling back. Hidden in this den of curling fluid and henna packs, separated by a lavender swing door from the other customers who were being gratified in other booths, she could give her curiosity its freedom. She looked expectantly at the black part in Leota's yellow curls as she bent to light the cigarette. "Mrs. Pike is this lady from New Orleans," said Leota, puffing, and pressing into Mrs. Fletcher's scalp with strong red-nailed fingers. "A friend, not a customer. You see, like maybe I told you last time, me and Fred and Sal and Joe all had us a fuss. So Sal and Joe up and moved out, so we didn't do a thing but rent out their room. So we rented it to Mrs. Pike and Mr. Pike." She flicked an ash into the basket of dirty towels. "Mrs. Pike is a very decided blonde. She bought me the peanuts." "She must be cute," said Mrs. Fletcher. "Honey, cute ain't the word for what she is. I'm telling you, Mrs. Pike is attractive. She has her a good time. She's got a sharp eye out, Mrs. Pike has." She dashed the comb through the air and paused dramatically as a cloud of Mrs. Fletcher's hennaed hair floated out of the lavender teeth like a small storm cloud. "Hair falling? Aw, Leota." "Uh-huh, commencing to fall out," said Leota, combing again and letting fall another cloud. "Is it any dandruff in it?" Mrs. Fletcher was frowning, her hairline eyebrows diving down toward her nose and her wrinkled, beady-lashed eyelids batting with concentration. "Nope," she combed again, "just falling out." "But it was that last permanent you gave me that did it," Mrs. Fletcher said cruelly. "Remember, you cooked me 14 minutes. "You had 14 minutes coming to you," said Leota with finality. "Bound to be something," persisted Mrs. Fletcher. Dandruff, dandruff. I couldn't have caught a thing like that from Mr. Fletcher, could I? Well, Leota answered at last, you know what I heard in here yesterday? One of Thelma's ladies was sitting over yonder in Thelma's booth getting a machineless. And I don't mean to insist or insinuate or anything, Mrs. Fletcher, but Thelma's lady just happened to throw out, I've forgotten what she was talking about at the time, that you was preg, P-R-E-G. And lots of times that'll make your hair do awful things, funny things, fall out, and God knows what all. It just ain't our fault, is the way I look at it. There was a pause. The women stared at each other in the mirror. Who was it? Demanded Mrs. Fletcher. Honey, I really couldn't say, said Leota. Not that you look it. Where's Thelma? I'll get it out of her, said Mrs. Fletcher. Now, honey, I wouldn't go and get mad over a little thing like that, Leota said, combing hastily as though to hold Mrs. Fletcher down by the hair. I'm sure it was somebody didn't mean no harm in the world. How far gone are you? Just wait, said Mrs. Fletcher, and shrieked for Thelma, who came in and took a drag from Leota's cigarette. Thelma, honey, throw your mind back to yesterday, if you can, said Leota, drenching Mrs. Fletcher's hair with a thick fluid and catching the overflow in a cold, wet towel at her neck. Well, I got my lady half wound for a spiral, said Thelma doubtfully. This won't take but a minute, said Leota. Who is it you got in there, old horse face? Just cast your mind back and try to remember who your lady was yesterday who happened to mention that my customer was pregnant, that's all. She's dead to know. Thelma drooped her blood-red lips and looked over Mrs. Fletcher's head into the mirror. Why, honey, I ain't got the faintest, she breathed. I really don't recollect the faintest, but I'm sure she meant no harm. I declare I forgot my hair finally got combed and thought it was a stranger behind me. Was it that Mrs. Hutchinson? Mrs. Fletcher was tensely polite. Mrs. Hutchinson? Oh, Mrs. Hutchinson. Thelma batted her eyes. Nah, precious, she come on Thursday and didn't even mention your name. I doubt if she ever knows you're on the way. Thelma, cried Leota staunchly. All I know is, whoever it is, I'll be sorry someday. Why, I just barely knew it myself, cried Mrs. Fletcher. Just let her wait. Why? What are you going to do to her? It was a child's voice, and the women looked down. A little boy was making tents with aluminum wave pinchers on the floor under the sink. Billy boy, hun, mustn't bother nice ladies, Leota smiled. She slapped him brightly and behind her back waved Thelma out of the booth. Ain't Billy Boy a sight, only 3 years old and already just nuts about the beauty parlor business. I never saw him here before, said Mrs. Fletcher, still unmollified. He ain't been here before, that's how come, said Leota. He belongs to Mrs. Pike. She got her a job, but it was Faye's millinery. He oughtn't to try on those ladies' hats. They come down over his eyes like I don't know what. They just get to look ridiculous, that's what. And, of course, he's going to put them on, hats. They told Mrs. Pike they didn't appreciate him hanging around there. Here he couldn't hurt a thing. Well, I don't like children that much, said Mrs. Fletcher. Well, said Leota moodily. Well, I'm almost tempted not to have this one, said Mrs. Fletcher. That Mrs. Hutchinson just looks straight through you when she sees you on the street and then spits at you behind your back. Mr. Fletcher would beat you on the head if you didn't have it now, said Leota reasonably, after going this far. Mrs. Fletcher sat up straight. Mr. Fletcher can't do a thing with me. He can't, Leota winked at herself in the mirror. No, sirree, he can't. If he so much as raises his voice against me, he knows good and well I'll have one of my sick headaches, and then I'm just not fit to live with. And if I really look that pregnant already... Well, now, honey, I just want you to know I haven't told any of my ladies, and I ain't going to tell them, even that you're losing your hair. You just get you one of those stokerlure dresses and stop worrying. What people don't know don't hurt nobody, as Mrs. Pike says. Did you tell Mrs. Pike? Asked Mrs. Fletcher suckily. Well, Mrs. Fletcher, look, you ain't ever going to lay eyes on Mrs. Pike or her lay eyes on you, so what difference does it make in the long run? I knew it. Mrs. Fletcher deliberately nodded her head so as to destroy a ringlet Leota was working on behind her ear. Mrs. Pike! Leota sighed. I reckon I might as well tell you. It wasn't any more Thelma's lady told me you was pregnant than a bat. Not Mrs. Hutchison. No, Lord. It was Mrs. Pike. Mrs. Pike? Mrs. Fletcher could only sputter and let curling fluid roll into her ear. How could Mrs. Pike possibly know I was pregnant or otherwise when she doesn't even know me? The nerve of some people. Well, here's how it was. Remember Sunday? Yes, said Mrs. Fletcher. Sunday, Mrs. Pike and me was all by ourselves. Mr. Pike and Fred had gone over to Eagle Lake, saying they was going to catch him some fish, but they didn't, of course. So we were sitting in Mrs. Pike's car in a 1939 Dodge. 1939, eh? Said Mrs. Fletcher. And we was getting us a Jack's beer apiece. That's the beer that Mrs. Pike says is made right in N.O., so she won't drink no other kind. So I seen you drive up to the drugstore and run in for just a second, leaving, I reckon, Mr. Fletcher in the car and come running out with looked like a prescription. So I says to Mrs. Pike, just be making talk. Right yonder is Mrs. Fletcher, and I reckon that's Mr. Fletcher. She's one of my regular customers, I say. I had on a figured print, said Mrs. Fletcher tentatively. You sure did, agreed Leota. So Mrs. Pike, she gave you a good look. She's very observant, a good judge of character. Cute as a minute, you know. And she says, I bet you another Jack's that lady 3 months on the way. What gall, said Mrs. Fletcher. Mrs. Pike. Mrs. Pike ain't going to bite you, said Leota. Mrs. Pike is a lovely girl. You'd be crazy about her, Mrs. Fletcher. But she can't sit still a minute. We went to the traveling freak show yesterday after work. I got through early, 9 o'clock. In the vacant store next door. What, you ain't been? No, I despise freaks, declared Mrs. Fletcher. Ah, well, honey, talking about being pregnant and all, you ought to see those twins in a bottle. You really owe it to yourself. What twins? Asked Mrs. Fletcher out of the side of her mouth. Well, honey, they got these two twins in a bottle, see? Born, joined, plumb together. Dead, of course. Leota dropped her voice into a soft lyrical hum. They was about this long. Pardon, must have been full-time, all right, wouldn't you say? And they had these two heads and two faces and four arms and four legs, all kind of joined here. See, this face looked this way and the other face looked that away over their shoulder. See, kind of pathetic. Gwah, said Mrs. Fletcher disapprovingly. Well, ugly? Honey, I mean to tell you, their parents was first cousins and all like that. Billy Boy got me a fresh, go get me a fresh towel from off a teeny stack. This one's wringing wet. And quit tickling my ankles with that curler. I declare he don't miss nothing. Me and Mr. Fletcher aren't one speck of kin, or he could never have had me, said Mrs. Fletcher placidly. Of course not, protested Leota. Neither is me and Fred, not that we know of. Well, honey, what Mrs. Pike liked was the pygmies. They've got these pygmies down there, too, and Mrs. Pike was just wild about them. You know, the teeny, tiniest men in the universe. Well, honey, they can just rest back on their little bohunkus and roll around, and you can't hardly tell if they're sitting or standing. That'll give you some idea. They're about 42 years old, to suppose it was your husband. Well, Mr. Fletcher is 5'9" and one half, said Mrs. Fletcher quickly. Fred's 5'10", said Leota, but I tell him he's still a shrimp, account if I'm so tall. She made a deep wave over Mrs. Fletcher's other temple with a comb. Well, these pygmies are a kind of a dark brown, Mrs. Fletcher. Not bad looking for what they are, you know. I wouldn't care for them, said Mrs. Fletcher. What does that Mrs. Pike see in them? Well, I don't know, said Leota. She's just cute, that's all. But they got this man, this petrified man, that everything, ever since he was 9 years old, when it goes through his digestion, see, somehow Mrs. Pike says it goes to his joints and has been turned into stone. How awful, said Mrs. Fletcher. He's 42, too. That looks like a bad age. Who says so? My Mrs. Pike? I bet she's 42, said Mrs. Fletcher. No, said Leota. Mrs. Pike's 33, born in January, an Aquarian. He could move his head like this. Of course, his head and mind ain't a joint, so to speak. And I guess his stomach ain't either. Not yet, anyways. But see, his food, he eats it and it goes down, see, and then he digests it. Leota rose on her toes for an instant. And it goes out to his joints, and before you can say Jack Robinson, it's stone. Pure stone. He's turning to stone. How'd you like that to be married to a guy like that? All he can do, he can move his head just a quarter of an inch. Of course, he looks just terrible. I should think he would, said Mrs. Fletcher frostily. Mr. Fletcher takes bending exercises every night of the world. I make him. All Fred does is lay around the house like a rug. I wouldn't be surprised if he woke up someday and couldn't move. The petrified man just sat there moving his quarter of an inch, though, said Leota reminiscently. Did Mrs. Pike like the petrified man? Asked Mrs. Fletcher. Not as much as she did the others, said Leota deprecatingly. And then she likes a man to be a good dresser and all that. Is Mr. Pike a good dresser? Asked Mrs. Fletcher skeptically. Oh, well, yeah, said Leota, but he's 14 years older than her. She asked Lady Evangeline about him. Who's Lady Evangeline? Asked Mrs. Fletcher. Well, is this mind reader they got in the freak show? Said Leota. Was real good. Lady Evangeline is her name, and if I had another dollar, I would do a thing, but have my other palm red. She had what Mrs. Pike said was the sixth mind, but she had the worst manicure I ever saw in a living person. What did she tell Mrs. Pike? Asked Mrs. Fletcher. She told her Mr. Pike was as true to her as he could be, and besides would come into some money. Huh, said Mrs. Fletcher. What does he do? I can't tell, said Leota, because he doesn't work. Lady Evangeline didn't tell me near enough about my nature or anything, and I would like to go back and find out some more about this boy. Used to go with this boy, got married to this girl. Oh, shoot, that was about 3.5 years ago, when you were still going to the Robert E. Lee beauty shop in Jackson. He married her for her money. Another fortune teller told me that at the time. So I'm not in love with him anymore. Anyway, besides being married to Fred. But Mrs. Pike thought, just for the hell of it, see, to ask Lady Evangeline, was he happy? Does Mrs. Pike know everything about you already? Asked Mrs. Fletcher unbelievingly. Mercy. Oh, yeah, I told her everything about everything. From now on back to, I don't know when, to when I first started going out, said Leota. So I asked Lady Evangeline for one of my questions, was he happily married? And she says, just like she was glad I asked her, honey, she says, no, he ain't. You write down this day, March 8th, 1941, she says, and mark it down. 3 years from today, him and her won't be occupying the same bed. There it is, up on the wall with them other dates. See, Mrs. Fletcher? And she says, child, you ought to be glad you didn't get him because he's so mercenary. So I'm glad I married Fred. He sure ain't mercenary. Money don't mean a thing to him. But I sure would like to go back and have my other palm read. Did Mrs. Pike believe in what the fortune teller said? Asked Mrs. Fletcher in a superior tone of voice. Lord, yes, she's from New Orleans. Everybody in New Orleans believes everything spooky. One of them in New Orleans, before it was raided, says to Mrs. Pike one summer, she was going to go from state to state and meet some gray-headed men. And sure enough, she went for on a beautician convention up to Chicago. Oh, said Mrs. Fletcher. Oh, is Mrs. Pike a beautician too? Sure she is, protested Leota. She's a beautician. I'm going to get her in here if I can, before she married. But it don't leave you. She says sure enough there was three men who was a very large part of making her trip what it was, and they all three had gray in their hair, and they went in six states. Got Christmas cards from them. Billy Boy, go see if Thelma's got any dry cotton. Look how Mrs. Fletcher's a-dripping. Where did Mrs. Pike meet Mr. Pike? Asked Mrs. Fletcher primly. On another train, said Leota. I met Mr. Fletcher, or rather he met me in a rental library, said Mrs. Fletcher with dignity, as she watched the net come down over her head. Honey, me and Fred, we went and met in a rumbo seat 8 months ago, and we was practically on what you might call the way to the altar inside of half an hour, said Leota in a guttural voice, and bit a bobby pin open. Of course, it don't last. Mrs. Pike says nothing like that ever lasts. Mr. Fletcher and myself are as much in love as the day we married, said Mrs. Fletcher belligerently as Leota stuffed cotton in her ears. Mrs. Pike says it don't last, repeated Leota in a louder voice. Now go get under the dryer. You can turn yourself on, can't you? I'll be back to comb you out. During lunch, I promised to give Mrs. Pike a facial, you know, free, her being in the business, so to speak. I bet she needs one, said Mrs. Fletcher, letting the swing door fly back against Leota. Oh, pardon me. A week later, on time for her appointment, Mrs. Fletcher sank heavily into Leota's chair after first removing a drugstore rental book called Life is Like That from the seat. She stared in a discouraged way into the mirror. You can tell it when I'm sitting down, all right, she said. Leota seemed preoccupied and stood shaking out a lavender cloth. She began to pin it around Mrs. Fletcher's neck in silence. I said you sure can tell it when I'm sitting straight on and coming at you this way, said Mrs. Fletcher said. Why, honey, no, you can't, said Leota gloomily. Why, I'd never know. If somebody was come up to me on the street and say, hey, Mrs. Fletcher is pregnant, I'd say, heck, she don't look it to me. If a certain party hadn't found it out and spread it around, it wouldn't be too late even now, said Mrs. Fletcher frostily. But Leota was almost choking her with the cloth, pinning it so tight, and she couldn't speak clearly. She paddled her hands in the air until Leota wearily loosened her. Listen, honey, you're just a virgin compared to Mrs. Montjoy, Leota was going on, still absent-minded. She bit Mrs. Fletcher back in the chair and sighing tossed liquid from a teacup onto her head and dug both hands into her scalp. You know Mrs. Montjoy, her husband's that premature gray-headed fella. She's in the Trojan Garden Club is all I know, said Mrs. Fletcher. Well, honey, said Leota in a weary voice, she come in here not the week before and not the day before she had her baby. She come in here for the very selfsame day. I mean to tell you, child, we was all plumb scared to death. There she was, come for her shampoo and set. Why, Mrs. Fletcher, in an hour and 20 minutes, she was laying up there in the Baptist hospital with a 7-pound boy. It was that close a shave. I declare if I hadn't been so tired, I would have drank up a bottle of gin that night. What gall, said Mrs. Fletcher. I never knew her at all well. See, her husband was waiting outside in the car, and her bags were all packed and in the back seat, and she was all ready, except she wanted her shampoo and set. And having one pain right after another, her husband kept coming in here scared-like, but couldn't do nothing with her, of course. She yelled bloody murder, too, but she always yelled her head off when I give her her permanent. She must have been crazy, said Mrs. Fletcher. How did she look? Shoot, said Leota. Well, I can guess, said Mrs. Fletcher. Awful. Just wanted to look pretty while she was having her baby is all, said Leota airily. Of course, we was glad to give the lady what she was after, that's our motto, but I bet an hour later she wasn't paying no mind to them little in curls. I bet she wasn't thinking about she ought to have on a net. It wouldn't have done her no good if she had. No, I don't suppose it would, said Mrs. Fletcher. Yeah, man, she was a yellin', just like when I give her permanent. Her husband could make her behave. Don't it seem that way to you? Asked Mrs. Fletcher. He ought to put his foot down. Ha, said Leota. A lot he could do. Maybe some women is soft. Oh, you mistake me. I don't mean for her to get soft. Far from it. Women have to stand up for themselves. Well, there's just no telling. But now you take me. I ask Mr. Fletcher's advice now and then, and he appreciates it, especially on something important, like, is it time for a permanent? Not that. I've told him about the baby. He says, why, dear, go ahead. Just ask their advice. Huh. If I ever asked Fred's advice, we'd be floating down the Yazoo River on a houseboat or something by this time, said Leota. I'm sick of Fred. I told him to go over to Vicksburg. Is he going? Demanded Mrs. Fletcher. Sure. See, the fortune teller I went back and had my other palm read, since we've got to rent the room again, said my lover was going to go to work in Vicksburg. So I don't know who she could meet unless she met Fred. And Fred ain't working here, that much is so. Is he going to work in Vicksburg? Asked Mrs. Fletcher. And sure, Lady Evangeline said so. Said the future is going to be brighter than the present. He don't want to go. But I ain't going to put up with nothing like that. Lays around the house and bulls. Did bull with that good-for-nothing Mr. Pike. He says if he goes, who'll cook? But I says I'd never get to eat anything, not meals. Billy boy, take Mrs. Grover that screen secrets and leg it. Mrs. Fletcher heard stomping feet go out the door. Is that Mr. Pike's little boy here again? She asked, sitting up gingerly. Yeah, that's still him. Leota stuck out her tongue. Mrs. Fletcher could hardly believe her eyes. Well, how's Mrs. Pike, your attractive new friend with the sharp eyes who spreads it around town and the perfect strangers are pregnant? She asked in a sweetened tone. Oh, Mrs. Pike, Leota combed Mrs. Fletcher's hair with heavy strokes. You act like you're tired, said Mrs. Fletcher. Tired? Feel like it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon already, said Leota. I ain't told you the awful luck we had, me and Fred. It's the worst thing you ever heard of. Maybe you think Mrs. Pike's got sharp eyes. Shoot, there's a limit. Well, you know, we rented out our room to this Mr. and Mrs. Pike from New Orleans when Sal and Joe Fentress got mad at us because they drank up some home brew we had in the closet. Sal and Joe did. So a week ago Saturday, Mr. and Mrs. Pike moved in. Well, I kind of fixed up the room, you know, put a soft sofa pillow on the couch and picked some ragged robins and put them in a vase. But they never did say they appreciated it. Anyway, then I put some old magazines on the table. I think that was lovely, said Mrs. Fletcher. Wait. So come night, for last, Fred and this Mr. Pike, who Fred just took up with, was back from they said they was fishing. Being as neither of them has a job to his name, and we all sitting around in their room. So Mrs. Pike was sitting there reading the old Starling G-Man tales. That was mine, mind you. I'd bought it myself. And all of a sudden, she jumps into the air. You'd have thought she'd set on a spider. And says, Canfield, ain't that silly? That's Mr. Pike. Canfield, my God almighty. She says, honey, she says, we're rich, and you won't have to work. Not that he turned one hand anyway. Well, me and Fred rushes over to her and Mr. Pike, too, and there she sits, pointing her finger at a photo in my copy of Startling G-Man. See that man? Yells Mrs. Pike. Remember him, Canfield? Never forget a face, says Mr. Pike. It's Mr. Petrie. That we stayed with him in the apartment next to ours in Toulouse Street in New N.O. for 6 weeks. Mr. Petrie. Well, said Mrs. Pike, like she can't hold out 1 second longer. Mr. Petrie's wanted for $500 cash for raping 4 women in California, and I know where he is. Mercy, said Mrs. Fletcher. Where was he? At some time, Leota had washed her hair, and now she yanked her up by the back locks and sat her up. Know where he was? I certainly don't, said Mrs. Fletcher. Her scalp hurt all over. Leota flung a towel around the top of her customer's head. Nowhere else but in that freak show. I saw him just as plain as Mrs. Pike. He was a petrified man. Who would ever have thought that? Cried Mrs. Fletcher sympathetically. So Mr. Plack says, well, what do you know about that? And he looks real hard at the photo and whistles. And she starts dancing and singing about their good luck. She meant our bad luck. I made a point of telling that fortune teller the next time I saw her, I said, listen, that magazine was laying around the house for a month, and there was $500 in it for somebody. And there was the freak show running around night and day, not two steps away from my own beauty parlor, with Mr. Peter just sitting there waiting. And it had to be Mr. and Mrs. Pike, almost perfect strangers. What gall, said Mrs. Fletcher. She was only sitting there wrapped in a turban, but she did not mind. Fortune tellers don't care. And Mrs. Pike, she goes around acting like she thinks she was Mrs. God, said Leota. So they're going to leave tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Pike. And in the meantime, I got to keep that mean, bad little old kid here getting under my feet every minute of the day and talking back to. Have they gotten the $500 reward already? Asked Mrs. Fletcher. Well, said Leota, at first Mr. Pike didn't want to do anything about it. Can you feature that? Said he kind of liked that old bird and said he was real nice to him, lent him money or something. But Mrs. Pike simply told him she could just go to hell, and I can see her point. She says, you ain't worked a lick in 6 months, and here I make $500 in 2 seconds, and what thanks do I get for it? You go to hell, Canfield, she said. So, Leota went on to, in a despondent voice, they called up the cops and they caught the old bird, all right. Right there in the freak show where I saw him with my own eyes thinking he was petrified. He's the one. Did it under his real name, Mr. Petrie. 4 women in California, all in the month of August. So Mrs. Pike gets $500 and my magazine and right next door to my beauty parlor. I cried all night, but Fred said it wasn't a bit of use and to go to sleep because the whole thing was just a sort of coincidence. You know, can't do nothing about it. He says it put him clean out of the notion of going to Vicksburg for a few days till we rent out the room again. No telling who we'll get this time. But can you imagine anybody knowing this old man that's raped 4 women? Persisted Mrs. Fletcher, and she shuddered audibly. Did Mrs. Pike speak to him when she met him in the freak show? Leota had begun to comb Mrs. Fletcher's hair. I says, I didn't notice you falling on his neck when he was the petrified man. Don't tell me you didn't recognize your fine friend. And she says, I didn't recognize him with that white powder all over his face. He just looked familiar, Mrs. Pike says, and lots of people look familiar. But she says that old petrified man did put her in mind of somebody. She wondered who it was, kept her awake, which man she'd ever knew it reminded her of. So when she saw the photo, it all come to her like a flash. Mr. Petrie, the way he turned his head and looked at her when she took him in his breakfast. Took him in his breakfast, shrieked Mrs. Fletcher. Listen, don't tell me. I'd have felt something. 4 women. I guess those 4 women didn't have the faintest notion at the time they'd be worth $125 apiece someday to Mrs. Pike. We asked her how old the fellow was then, and she says he must have had 1 foot in the grave at least. Can you beat it? Not really petrified at all, of course, said Mrs. Fletcher meditatively. She drew herself up. I'd have felt something, she said proudly. Shoot, I did feel something, said Leota. I told Fred when I got home I felt so funny. I said, Fred, that old petrified man sure did leave me with a funny feeling. He says, funny ha-ha, or funny peculiar. And I says, funny peculiar. She pointed her comb into the air emphatically. I bet you did, said Mrs. Fletcher. They both heard a crackling noise. Leota screamed, Billy boy, what you doing in my purse? I'm just eating these old stale peanuts up, said Billy Boy. How can you come here to me, screamed Leota, recklessly flinging down the comb, which scattered a whole ashtray full of bobby pins and knocked down a row of Coca-Cola bottles. This is the last straw. I caught him, giggled Mrs. Fletcher. I'll hold you him on my lap. You bad, bad boy, you. I guess I better learn how to spank little old bad boys, she said. Leota's 11 o'clock customer pushed open the swing door upon Leota paddling him heartily with the brush, while he gave angry but belittling screams which penetrated beyond the booth and filled the whole curious beauty parlor. From everywhere, ladies began to gather round to watch the paddling. Billy Boy kicked both Leota and Mrs. Fletcher as hard as he could. Mrs. Fletcher, with her new fixed smile. "There, my little man," gasped Leota. "You won't be able to sit down for a week if I knew what I was doing." Billy Boy stomped through the group of wild-haired ladies and went out the door, but flung back the words, "If you're so smart, why ain't you rich?" You just heard me read Petrified Man by Eudora Welty. This is Ms. G here at Telling Tales in Juneau, Alaska at KTO 104.3. Until next time, good night.